There is consequently a natural desire for others. On a purely individual, call it selfish, basis. I need other people. I want other people around. There is a natural desire as an individual for knowledge. And consequently, means of learning, this is for the mind, either they are available or a person would find them or, if really necessary, would develop them. We have a natural desire. Let me give you the first of all, the four categories. We have a natural desire for survival, for growth, in the body. We have a natural desire for survival and growth in the mind. We have a natural desire for survival and growth in the will and in the emotions. Now, on each of these levels, and we're still talking about the individual or personal affections or desires that we've got, as long as these affections or desires are natural, and our human nature is a fallen human nature, what do they need? We need divine grace. In other words, we will never have our desires under control unless we have access to divine grace. However, these natural affections are not only the desires or affections of the individual. In other words, we also have what you might call the social natural affections or desires. In other words, it is not merely a matter of survival or growth as an individual. It is also survival and growth as a social being. What then do we need? We have, first of all, a natural desire for acceptance by others. It is a natural urge. Is it wrong? No. Does it have to be controlled? Yes. Why does it have to be controlled? Because our desire for acceptance can get out of hand. We may want to be accepted by people so that in order to please them, we will do things for the sake of acceptance that may be contrary to the will of God, right? Again, we have a natural affection or desire for recognition. We want to be recognized by others. Is that good? It is. Does it have to be controlled? It does. What's the danger? The danger is that in our desire for being recognized by people, we will seek the recognition for itself. We will desire human praise, not because it is something that God wants, but because we enjoy the recognition we give, and we'll cultivate our pride through recognition by others. Again, we all have a natural desire to love and be loved. Is that natural? Yes. Are those natural desires normal? Well, not quite. Because while the desire for loving and being loved is natural, but both desires, to love others and to be loved by them, can be unruly, can be inordinate. We may desire to be loved by people for whom we will do things that are wrong. And we will want to love others in a way, manifesting our affections for them, which we're forbidden to do. We have a natural social affection to belong. But what a difference between the desire to belong, say, to a gang and belonging to, say, a family or a religious community. And finally, we all have a natural desire to give. Beautiful. Does that natural affection have to be controlled? Yes. Otherwise, we are liable to give what we shouldn't to persons who are not to receive from us. So much for the forms of our natural affections. Now some practical recommendations on how to deal with these natural affections. First of all, know your affections. In other words, we all have the same basic drives or desires, but some people have stronger desires in one area than in another. There are some people, for example, that naturally appeal to us. There are some people that naturally like food. They just like food. There are some people who naturally like sleep. Is it possible to sin by oversleeping? What would you say? Overeating, of course. Overdrinking, of course. Is it possible to sin by overworking? I speak as one well informed. In other words, the first practical recommendation I would make is know what are your tendencies. Some people have no danger of overworking. They will never have to confess, "Father, forgive me. I've overworked this past week." Oh, you did. Secondly, know your weaknesses. I may have a natural desire, and I get so much satisfaction out of doing certain things that my weakness, for example, a person might say, I have a weakness for sweets. Well, the weakness there is you've got a strong desire for something which gets out of control. So the weakness can come from either underusing a faculty or from overusing it. Am I making sense? Both are weaknesses. No, which faculty, which tendency you tend to abuse by overusing, and which faculty you just find it hard even to begin to exert yourself in using at all. Thirdly, know your strengths. In the spiritual life, divine grace builds on human nature. And while essentially we all receive the same life of God into our souls by sanctifying grace, and divine grace is actual grace, again, essentially is the same. Essentially. But as we've said before, God adapts his grace to the nature we've got. And consequently, a person, for example, who has a strength in having a good intellect, that person may have a strong desire for learning, for knowledge. Is that wrong? No. It must be controlled, but it should be developed. Other people have a strong desire to give, to share. You're with them for 5 minutes and you realize they are such generous people, they would give you anything for the asking. Is that good? Yes. Does it have to be controlled? Of course. Should it be developed? Yes. So know your strengths. Fourth recommendation, know how to control. And this is the main thing that I wish to share with you on a practical level in how to deal with our natural affections or desires or impulses or urges, whatever name you give them. The key to control our affections is to control our sense experiences. Let me repeat. The key to controlling our natural affections is to control our sense experiences. What are we saying? We've touched on this before, but we are hitting it directly now. I will never, never have a desire in my will or in my appetites, as we call them, unless I first have an idea in my mind. In other words, a blank mind is a blank will. A mind without thoughts is a will without desires. Does that make sense? The will must be fed by the mind. In order to desire something, I must first know that it even exists. then I must at least think there's something good about that for me to love it. Very well. All control of desires depends on control of my thoughts. But the control of my thoughts depends on the control of my senses. And anyone who has been trained to control their senses according to the will of God is on the road to sanctity. What senses are we talking about? All of them. The eyes, the ears, the touch, the smell. Feeling. Consequently, if I want to not merely deal with my affections, which by now you see what we call them, affections are desires, urges, impulses that go out of ourselves for satisfaction. If I want to master my desires, I must go to the root of all desires, and that is sense experience. What does this mean in practice? Well, having been striving at this myself, having tried to help others over the years, the word is sacrifice. You must be willing to give up, to sacrifice. Sense experiences that are satisfying, one must be willing to sacrifice sense experiences that are satisfying. I've got a whole series of S's. If I wish to control my natural desires or affections, and if, for example, by the time a person enters a religious community, that person has indulged his or her sense experiences, they may have to go out of their way to practice extra mortification, extra self-denial of sense experience in order to get the will under control. In other words, for some people who have indulged, for example, say the sex passions, they can't just make up their minds and say, well, from now on I'm going to be chaste. That's no help. I've got to use the means. And if I've allowed my body to be aroused sexually, say over a period of years, I must work extra hard in mortifying so that those impulses will be gradually quieted down. So of food, so of drink, so of sleep, so of ease, you name it. So also in dealing with other people. If I have been an extrovert and given in to my strong natural desires for conviviality. I couldn't be 5 minutes a day alone. Then a person, knowing that that is my weakness, must cultivate, and this can be very difficult, cultivate solitude and practice the sacrifice of being with and in the company of other people. Not because there's anything wrong with being a social-minded person, but if I'm going to be like Christ, I must, like Christ, be willing to be alone as he was, as the Gospels tell us, would spend the whole night, and the evangelist makes clear, alone in prayer. Or the opposite. Suppose a person's strong natural desires or affections are for solitude. We call them loners. That person must cultivate the spirit of sacrifice in going out to others, even though naturally speaking this person's bent is to solitude. And with that, I think we can close. A larger subject we can cover in 35 minutes, but at least I hope I've said something worth hearing.